How you are changing is up to you. What you are evolving into is up to you. Yet the fact that you are is not something that is open to question. It is a given. This is just what is going on. That is what life is. It is what God is. It is what you are.
Life, God, you, equals that which changes.
But you still haven't resolved the dilemma. If I'm one with everything, what about swatting the mosquito?
What kind of change do you choose to create in that part of yourself that you called the mosquito? That is the question you are asking, and that is the implication of the we are all one wisdom. You are changing the part of the all that you call the mosquito. You cannot kill the mosquito. Do you see? Life is eternal. You cannot end it. You do have the power to change your form. As in your popular science fiction entertainments, you might call yourself a shapeshifter. Yet know this. All of consciousness acts together. In the highest sense, it is impossible for one of you to have dominion or control over another. Every aspect of divinity has co-creative control over its destiny. Therefore, you cannot kill a mosquito against its will. At some level, the mosquito has chosen that. All of the change in the universe occurs with the consent of the universe itself in its various forms. The universe cannot disagree with itself. That is impossible.
Oh, man, this is dangerous talk. This is a dangerous teaching. People could use this to say, well, then I can do anything I want to anyone, since they've given me their permission. After all, they're co-creating it with me. It would be behavioral anarchy.
You already have that. Life is what you call behavioral anarchy. Do you not see? You are all doing what you want, when you want, how you want, and I'm not stopping you. Are you not seeing that? The human race has done what it is called hideous things, and it has done them over and over again, and God is not stopping it from doing so. Have you not ever wondered why?
Well, of course I have. We all have. We've cried out in our hearts, God, why are you allowing this? Of course we have.
Well, do you want the answer?
Of course I want the answer.
Good, because I've just given it to you.
If that's true, I'm going to have to think about this. If that's true, it feels as though there's now nothing in place to stop us from doing incredible damage to each other, all under the guise of simply believing that everything in the universe agrees with what we're doing. I'm just deeply troubled by that. I don't know how to deal with it. The doctrine of right and wrong, crime and punishment, good and evil, everlasting reward and everlasting damnation, all those things which control us, all those things which give hope to the oppressed, all of them are wiped out by this message. If we don't have a new message to replace it, I'm afraid for the human race and the new depths of depravity to which it could go.
But you do have a new message. It is at last the truth. And this message is the only message that can save the world. The old message has not done that. Do you not see this? Is this not clear to you? The old message, which you say has given humanity hope, has brought you none of the results you've hoped for. That old message of right and wrong, crime and punishment, good and evil, everlasting rewarding and everlasting damnation has done nothing to end the suffering on your planet, to end the killing on your planet, to end the torture that you are inflicting upon yourselves. And that is because it is a message of separation. There is only one message that can change the course of human history forever, end the torture, and bring you back to God. That message is the new gospel.
We are all one.
From this new gospel emerges a new message of total responsibility, telling you that you are totally responsible for what you are choosing, that you are choosing it all together, that the only way to change your choices is to change them all together. You will not end the torture of yourselves so long as you imagine yourselves to be merely torturing another. You will only end the torture when you are clear that you are, in fact, torturing yourself. This you can only see when you understand completely that it is impossible to do anything against the will of another. Only in that moment of clarity can you glimpse what you would have thought to be an impossible truth. You are doing all of this to yourselves. And this truth you cannot see unless you understand, embrace, and live the new gospel. We are all one. Therefore, of course, you cannot do anything to another that has not at some level been co-created with you. That would be possible only if we are not all one. Yet we are all one. There is only one of us. We are creating this reality together.
Do you understand the implications of this? Do you see its awesome impact?
Go now, therefore, and teach ye all nations. Teach that what you do for another, you do for yourself. And what you fail to do for another, you fail to do for yourself. Do unto others as you would have it done unto you, because it is being done unto you.
That is the golden rule. And now you understand it completely.
Why are these wonderful truths not taught us in this way from the beginning? As beautiful as the golden rule was before, now it makes even more sense. It's perfectly symmetrical. The circle of logic is complete. We see the reason for it. We see why it's in our own best interest to apply this wisdom. It's no longer an act of altruism, but of practicality. It's simply what works for us. Why is the golden rule not taught this way from the very beginning to little children?
The question is not, why hasn't this been done in the past? The question is, what do you intend to do in the future? Go, therefore, and teach ye all nations, spreading far and wide the new gospel. We are all one. Ours is not a better way. Ours is merely another way. Speak it not only from your pulpits, but from the halls of your governments as well. Not only in your churches, but in your schools. Not only through your collective conscience, but through your collective economies.
Make your spirituality real, right here, right now, on the ground.
It sounds as if you're talking about politicizing our spirituality. Yet there are those who say that spirituality and politics should not mix.
You cannot avoid politicizing your spirituality. Your political viewpoint is your spirituality. Demonstrate it. Yet perhaps it is not a matter of politicizing your spirituality, but of spiritualizing your politics.
Well, but I thought there was supposed to be a separation of church and state. Don't we get into trouble when we try to marry religion and politics?
Indeed you do, and I'm not talking about that. You may decide that church and state are best left separate. Based on your results, you may decide that religion and politics do not mix. Spirituality, on the other hand, may be another matter. The reason you may decide that church and state should be separate is the church means a particular point of view, a particular religious belief. You may have observed that when such beliefs inform your politics, you create great controversy and political strife. This is because all people do not hold the same religious beliefs. And in fact, not all people even participate in religion or church in any form.
Spirituality, on the other hand, is universal. All people participate in it. All people agree with it.
They do. You could have fooled me.
They do, even if they do not know it, even if they do not call it that. That is because spirituality is nothing more than life itself, as it is. Spirituality says that all things are part of life, and that is a statement with which no one can disagree. You can argue all you want about whether there is a God and whether all things are part of God, but you cannot argue about whether there is life or whether all things are part of life. The only discussion left then is whether life and God are the same things, and I tell you they are. Even an agnostic, even an atheist, would agree that there is some force in the universe that is holding it all together. There is also something that started it all. And if there is something that started it all, there has to have been something existing before the universe as you now know it existed. The universe didn't just burst into being out of thin air. And even if it did, thin air is something. And even if you say that the universe burst into being out of nothing at all, still you must deal with the question of first cause. What caused something to arise out of nothing at all? This first cause is life itself expressing in physical form. It is life in formation. No one can disagree with this, because this is obviously what's so. You can, however, argue forever, and you have, over how to describe this process, what to call it, what to infer from it, what to conclude. Yet I have told you, this is God. This is what you mean, what you have always meant by the word God. God is first cause, unmoved mover. That which was before that which is, was. That which will be after that which now is no longer. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end.
Again, I tell you, the words life and God are interchangeable. If the process you are observing is the process of life in formation, then it is as I have said to you before. You are all gods in formation. That is, you are God's information.
Okay, I suppose, but what does this have to do with anything, least of all politics?
If spirituality is really another word for life, then that which is spiritual is life-affirming. To inject spirituality into your politics, therefore, would be to make all political activities and all political decisions life-affirming. Indeed, this is what you are trying to do with your politics. This is why I have said that your political viewpoint is your spirituality demonstrated. The only reason you have created politics is to produce a system by which life may be lived harmoniously, happily, peacefully. That is a system by which life itself may be affirmed.
I've never thought of it in quite that way.
Those who founded your country have. The United States has a constitution which says that all of you are created equal, with certain inalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Your government was based on the notion that human beings could construct a system of self-governance that guaranteed these rights. All governments everywhere were created for basically the same reason. You may differ on the form, but never the purpose of government. Different cultures and societies may spell out differently their ideas and how to achieve them, but their desires are basically the same. You see, then, that governments and politics were created in order to guarantee the experience of what spirituality is, which is life itself.
Still, most people don't want to hear God talking about politics or political issues. I mean, whenever I write in our Foundation newsletter about political issues, as they're affected by the message in Conversations with God, I begin receiving negative letters. Cancel my subscription, they say. This is not God's work. These are political views, and I didn't subscribe to this newsletter to hear political views. You know, when Marianne Williamson, James Redfield, and I sponsored a peace prayer vigil in Washington, D.C. a few years ago, everyone thought it was marvelous. We were calling upon all people everywhere to use the power of prayer to bring peace to the world, and we received wide support. Yet as soon as any of us starts talking about how to produce peace, the spiritual principles which underlie it, the mail starts pouring in. People are infuriated.
Yes, people want you to pray for peace, but not to do anything about it. They want God to find a solution, but they eliminate the possibility that God's solution might just be you doing something about it. In fact, that is the only solution there ever will be, because God works in the world through the people who are in it.
Oh, I don't think people mind other people doing something about it. What they do mind is God telling them what must be done.
Yet I have never told you what you must do about it, and I never will. I've never given orders, barked commands, or issued ultimatums. I've merely listened to you tell me where you want to go and offered you suggestions on how to get there. You say you want a world that can live in peace and harmony and joy. And I tell you this, joy is freedom. Those words, too, are interchangeable. Any curtailing of freedom is a curtailing of joy. Any curtailing of joy is a curtailing of harmony. Any curtailing of harmony is a curtailing of peace. You tell me that you wish to live in a world without conflict, without violence, without bloodshed, without hatred. And I tell you this, a way to have such a world, a way to create it virtually overnight, is to preach and live the new gospel.
We are all one. Ours is not a better way. Ours is merely another way.
Speak it not only from your pulpits, but from the halls of your governments as well. Not only in your churches, but in your schools. Not only through your collective conscience, but through your collective economies.
You keep repeating yourself.
You keep repeating yourself. Your whole history has been a repeating of your own failures. In your personal life and in the collective experience of your planet. The definition of insanity is repeating over and over again the same behaviors and expecting different results. All that those who are seeking to overlay spirituality on politics are trying to do is to say, there is another way. These efforts should be blessed, not criticized.